We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 7, and we shall read again verse 10. Psalm 7 at verse 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Amen. This psalm has a title and an interesting one, Shigayon of David. That word is thought to refer perhaps to the type of song or even the tune which was originally used in the singing of it, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush, the Benjamite. And we wonder who Cush was. A particular individual who must have spoken unkindly to David or regarding David, and indeed brought a false, slanderous report concerning God's servant. That is the occasion for this psalm. That is the reason for this psalm. Some say that by Cush, David had in mind King Saul, who was certainly an enemy and showed no kindness to David on many occasions. And others think that perhaps Cush was one of Saul's courtiers or commanders. In the end, it is not an important matter. What is important is to see what David does in response to this opposition and to this attack upon his character. Whatever else he did this. He brought the matter to the Lord. And we believe that he did that before he did anything else. This psalm is a song, but when you read it, it is clearly also a prayer. And in our text, we have, as part of David's response to the accusation made against him, an affirmation. And it is one born out of David's knowledge of divine truth and his experience of God in relation to him. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. When Cush came with his evil words, and no doubt on many other occasions, David went to the Lord, called upon his God, sought his help, and the Lord showed himself strong on behalf of his servant. Well, there's a lesson for us there. In times of difficulty, and especially difficulty of the kind we have recorded in the psalm, when we may face opposition, antagonism, we bring it to the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, we trust in the Lord, and he will do for us what he did for David. Well, with God's help, let us consider briefly what we find in our text. And we shall look firstly at God saving the upright, secondly at God defending the upright, and then we shall seek to make some application of this. Firstly, God saving the upright. That is what David can say here with regard to God. This is what God does, what he's doing in the world. He has a people. They're termed the upright. God saves them. God delivers them. For God had a people from all eternity, precious unto him, chosen by him in love, and given to his Son as their Redeemer. Why did they need a Redeemer? Because they were not upright by nature, because of the fall of Adam, because we were in him when he sinned, we were fallen into sin, into corruption, guilt was upon us, we were lost, being separated from God by our sin, and helpless, we might say hopeless. Nothing in the world, nothing in man, no help there at all. Ah, but God, the gracious God, full of pity, rich in mercy, coming to the aid of his people, those whom he so loved, in Christ Jesus. Oh, what God did for them in his beloved Son. Jesus Christ, who was upright among men, and perfect in his uprightness. Jesus Christ, true man, yet pure and holy, innocent and just. And Jesus Christ, who was and is the Son of God, as the Redeemer, he lives a sinless life. He dies a sacrificial death. He takes away all the guilt of his people by his precious blood. He reconciles them to God. He gives to them his righteousness. He makes his people upright. That is what God makes his children. They were children of wrath by nature. They deserved his punishment for their sin. But freely, in his grace, in Jesus Christ, he adopted them. And he adopted them as those he justified. And he justified them in Christ, clothed them with the Redeemer's obedience, so that he looks upon them, he looks upon you and upon me, in Christ, as those who are believers in Christ, and those who put all their confidence in Christ for acceptance with God. God declares his own to be just, to be upright. But we're called with a heavenly, holy calling. And those whom God has declared to be upright must live uprightly. That is our challenge. As the Lord's people in this present evil world, so much iniquity, so many temptations, and the flesh, our own flesh, continually lusting against the Spirit of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that there is this conflict within us. We're called to righteousness, to keep God's commandments, to show our love for God by obeying him. And then we find this tendency to depart from his ways, and to go our own way, the way of the world. And we praise him, do we not, for his grace. God's strength made perfect in our weakness. God enabling us to do what is right and pleasing in his sight, even against that opposition of the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is God saving the upright, those who are not upright when they came into this world. But God made them upright. He did that in saving them. And when God justifies a sinner, that sinner is justified forever. You can never lose that. That's very important to remember. That's a great comfort for the believer. You might feel you've lost much as a Christian as you go on, because you've sinned. You've even brought shame upon your profession. You've gone back at times. But you've never lost this, your justification. That remains. It doesn't give us a license to sin, not at all. But it does give comfort when perhaps we cannot see much of a difference between ourselves and the world. Ourselves and as we once were. We have been justified if we have believed in Christ. God has acquitted us. And God looks upon us. And he sees not our sin. He sees the perfect obedience of Christ. But then there's another sense to the words of our text. God which saveth the upright in heart. God who delivers the upright in heart. He saved them from their sins, forgiving them. Now he saves them from their enemies. That is a reality which at times the church seems to forget and individual believers seem to forget. This world is a hostile world. This world lies in the wicked one. Satan is the prince of this world. That is not because Satan had an ability to overcome God or Christ. Not at all. This is by divine permission. This is the mystery of God's providence. This is the Lord in a remarkable way leaving this evil spirit having such sway over fallen mankind, but yet ordering all that Satan does so that Satan can only do so much, can only go so far. There's a bound set upon him. And all that he does also serves God's purpose, ultimately. Those who willfully, by their own choice, although it's their own nature, those who refuse the gospel of Christ to continue in the ways of the wicked one, well, God reveals his justice. God punishes their sin. God reveals that holiness of his own being in bringing such down to that hell which awaits the ungodly, the impenitent, the hard-hearted, the blind, the deaf, the foolish, the perverse, because it is a perverse thing to deny the Creator and to deny the Word of God when you have nothing else, no other hope. It reveals the enmity that is in man's heart as a fallen creature. And God brings down the deserved judgment upon the ungodly. But he saves the upright in heart. He delivers his people out of the hands of wicked men. That is what he did for David when Cush the Benjamite came against him. These deliverances are both providence and grace. It's the providence of God that so works that the wicked can only go so far, do so much, and then the wicked may fall into the pit which they have prepared for the righteous. But also grace in the hearts of his people to strengthen them, to uphold them, that they might not give way under the opposition, that they might not respond in kind, that they would love their enemies and do good unto those who despitefully use them. And in that way, God reveals his grace and he magnifies his grace in his people. And he delivers them. They do not succumb to the taunts, the mockery of the ungodly. They do not go back. They do not deny Christ. They continue with their Lord and Savior. And they put their trust in their God. And they look to him for his deliverance. God which saveth the upright in heart. But then secondly, God defending the upright. David could say, my defense is of God. What he is saying literally is this: God is my buckler. God is my shield. Was the case that in battle there might be an armor bearer, one who would carry the shield and go before the soldier. Certainly any who had an important place in the ranks of the army, the commanders, carrying the shield. And in that way, defending those who were important in the conflict and those who might have control of the army and how it engaged the enemy. And here David is able to say, God is like that to me. God is my great shield. My mighty shield, my impregnable shield, and he defends me. He's well able to do so. His providence, his grace, this is my confidence. Who and what is Cush and his words against God? That is how we should see our own difficulties. When we are in some conflict, when we might receive some injustice, when there might be subtle words, misleading words, words which paint a false picture, when things may be said against us which are not so, impugning our character or our conduct. Firstly, we freely confess unto God and to our fellow men that we are sinners. We are not perfect. We are, in many respects, coming short of the glory of our God. And that grieves us. And that is something we take heed to, and we seek to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when it is a palpably false accusation, when it is designed to hurt and to harm, when it is an unrighteous thing which is done to us, well, we look to God to defend us. Now, David could speak of an upright character. Verse 8, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. He was not pleading as though he had no sin. He was without sin altogether, not at all. He was pleading his sincerity. He was saying before God and inviting God to try his heart and his reins and see if there was any wicked way in him. He was saying before God that he was genuine. He loved the Lord. He sought God's face and favor. He endeavored by grace to walk in God's ways. And it's good if we're able to do that, even in the secret place, when we're upon our knees and upon our faces, calling upon the Lord, unburdening ourselves of our difficulty, asking him to come to our aid. This is a good plea to be able to make, and one that the Lord will not reject. That we are righteous. Righteous firstly in Christ, but then righteous also in terms of sincerely following the Lord. Then David says in verse 9, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And in verse 11, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. There is a difference. God knows the righteous, his own people. He judges them. He does so in the sense of having judged them on account of Jesus Christ and acquitted them. He also judges them by leading them to repentance when they do sin. He convicts them of their sin and enables them to confess it to him, and they enjoy his fatherly forgiveness. Not so with the wicked. God is angry with them every day. Why so? Are there not good men in this world? If you would view someone outwardly only, you might say, with regard to some compared to others, well, he's an upright man. Good man. But God is the judge. He looks upon the heart. And many may be externally upright, and yet in their heart there's only enmity against God. And they have enmity towards the Lord's cause and his people. They're offended by the gospel precisely because it challenges the self-righteous. Those who think that all is well with them because they've never done anyone any harm, and they try to do their best, and surely they should be commended for their goodness and not accused of wickedness. My defense is of God. Our defense is of God. if we belong to Christ, if we are righteous in Him, and if we love righteousness and do righteousness as we are enabled by His grace. And God will defend us. He is a shield round about us. As David was delivered by God from Cush and from so many other foes and difficult situations in his life's experience, and you can learn these things by reading of him, well, God will so deliver his own. And he will defend them. God will even show forth the righteousness of his people. Let their enemies say what they will regarding them and do what they will to them. Sometimes God will give the enemies of his people some rain. And these things will happen. But we're told in Psalm 37, we are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We're not to fret ourselves because of those who prosper in their way, their wicked way, because of those who bring wicked devices to pass. Why? Because if we commit our way unto the Lord, if we trust in him, he will bring to pass our desires, our requests, our petitions. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Vindication for the Lord's people when they are opposed by the ungodly. Well, briefly to apply this. You can see from Scripture, and you know from the history of the church, you can see it also in the present day, how God's people are under attack. Even in our own society, which in one sense still is a Christian society, but practically is becoming more and more ungodly and anti-Christian. The Lord has allowed things to go in that direction. And we pray fervently that the time would come when he would cause things to go in a different direction. That there would be a return to his word and to his law and to his gospel. And God's people are targeted today. And you find sincere Christians who are just continuing to live Christian lives as they ever did, now in great difficulty in their places of education, study, employment, service in the community, and so on. And that cannot be an easy thing. And you find how those who are particularly motivated against the cause of Christ, against the word of God, are stirred up at the present. And they single out Christians. And they try to entrap them in their places of work or education. And online, and using all these devices to misrepresent them, to paint a picture of them as though they are bigoted and full of hatred and condemnation for others. But what motivates the Christian is the very opposite. Love your enemies means as you have opportunity and with desire that it be blessed to them, you lovingly warn those who are living in an ungodly way and following lifestyles that God's word condemns. You lovingly warn them of the need to seek God's forgiveness. And you encourage them with the gospel to seek the Lord's mercy and the Lord's salvation. But that's enough for the ungodly, for the wicked. Even to do that now is something they will condemn you for. You must accept others. You must approve their lifestyles. Celebrate them. But if we love them, we cannot do that. And we must do the will of the Lord. And we must speak our mind as our mind has been enlightened in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit in the Scriptures. And we entrust ourselves into the Lord's care and keeping as we do so. And we trust that He will be our shield, and that He will defend us and deliver us. But we leave the issue with Him. And you do not need to take things into your own hands. The Lord can turn things about and make our darkness to be light, difficult things to become as such that we wonder what the difficulty was. The Lord has intervened. The Lord has brought things to pass. The Lord has overcome the opposition. The Lord has even spoken powerfully to those who are against us and against His cause, humbled them. And our desire would be that He would humble them to repentance and bring them, as He did us, out of their fallen condition, that they might then be among the upright, the Lord's people, followers of Jesus Christ. Well, may we be able to affirm that our defense is of God. That He saves the upright in heart. He's able and willing to deliver them. And we trust Him for that. For ourselves, our church, our nation, His cause in general. May it please the Lord so to do. May He bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord, we bow before Thee, the Sovereign One, and the One who is merciful and gracious to His own, who puts strength within their hearts and enables them to stand upon the truth and to live righteous lives. We do confess our sin, that we are not what we ought to be, and what we hope one day we shall be. But wilt Thou deliver us, O Lord, and deliver Thine own afflicted people, Thy tried people, Thy persecuted people, putting their enemies to shame, giving them the victory, and getting glory to Thine own name, even the working of Thy providence and Thy grace. Hear us, O Lord, and do us good, pardoning our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.